Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
What's up, reality spirituality audience? This is your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, live, coming to you live from California. What? And listen, I'm calling in the studio from my cell phone, so forgive me if it's not the audio isn't up to par. But anywho, listen, I've been in California for a week. Tomorrow I'm going back to Oregon, and I'm telling you, I haven't been back in over 9 months. You know I'm a happiness specialist, and let me tell you what the hell what is that? One, I'm laughing because I have this relationship with the universe. Listen, I say universe. Some people use the term God, energy source, higher power, whatever term you want to use is okay with me. You know what I'm talking about. And I have this personal relationship with the universe. And years ago when I decided on my search, because when I was younger, I wanted two things. When I was in high school, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. And so, you know, when you ask, when you put that question ask and you start searching, you will get answers. And this happiness search, forgive me, listeners that have been listening to me for a while, but I get new listeners all the time. So let me, please bear with me while I just recap just a quick who the heck I am and what am I doing and why happiness. The search for happiness has taken me all around the world. It's taken me all around my insides, because I thought that getting married, having a family, living in an area where I wanted, having a title, good health, looks, the perfect weight, money. Oh, I forgot about that. All of these things. I mean. Vacations, all of these things. And let me tell you, every time I would achieve or every time I would accomplish a goal, yeah, I'd feel great for a minute. I'd feel, woo, wonderful. But what always happened was it was a roller coaster. There's highs and there's lows and highs and lows. But I'm telling you, even as a happiness specialist, there's still the, quote, highs and lows, even though, you know, on the show we don't label. There's still the highs and lows, but the difference is, what is my foundation? When I ask people if they want to be happier, everybody raises their hand. You want to? Who says no? Everybody raises yes. But I'm here to tell you that this happiness, this what I say is the same as feeling peaceful, same as having a vibration of contentment, of peace, of satisfaction, of balance, of relaxation all the time, is possible even with the highs and lows in life. And since I made the commitment, and it is a commitment, folks, it is a commitment in every single moment. It's like any other skill. It's like any other skill, just like the Olympians. You know, you have to, you got to practice if you want to be an Olympic medalist. Even to be on the team, you have to practice. Anything you want to, quote, master or get to a point of, yeah, mastery takes a lot of practice. And this happiness feeling, this sense of peace, regardless of what's happening outside, is a practiced skill. It's a practiced skill. And who knew? I didn't know that at the beginning of my journey, but it is. And let me tell you that the universe has put me through all kinds of challenges. I say challenges, tests. I like them because you know what I like about a challenge? I remember who I was a year ago. I remember who I was 5 years ago. I remember that person that would react to the smallest, to the slightest wind blowing in a different direction. I read all of everything that happened, I would react to. And usually I'd react to with frustration or anger. Listen, people that know me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I ain't going to apologize, but you know I'm not the same person. The thing about practicing is you never know where you are or you never know what level you've reached until you're tested. And this trip to California has tested me inside and out. I'm going to let you in on all of the things that have happened. And it is an unbelievable story. What do they say? That you couldn't even write this script. I'm not making any of this stuff up, and I'm telling you the things that have happened, not to complain. Trust me, there were no complaints here. But in all honesty, for me, I get signs from the universe. It's a pat on the back. It's an attaboy. It's a attagirl. It's a sense of, wow, I remember who I used to be. And I remember what things used to trigger me. Now, I'm not saying I don't have things that still push my buttons, because I met a lot of my friends, had a big day yesterday, big week, meeting people, seeing people again. And trust me, my dear audience, trust me, I have buttons that can be pushed, but they're not the usual buttons that I'm going to share with you today. Before I go on, I want to give you my definition of happiness. And my definition is to be able to stand up in that rowboat rocking, that rowboat in the middle of the ocean, stand up in the middle of the waves, high waves, low waves, and still be at peace. Be at peace, remain peaceful inside, regardless of what's happening and regardless of what doesn't happen. You know, those expectations, and oh, those expectations aren't met. And guess what? Here comes the disappointment. So the happiness means being at peace regardless of what happens and what doesn't happen. And my job as a happiness specialist is to practice accepting and surrendering to every moment without resistance or judgment. That's my job, everyone. That's what I do every waking hour, every waking moment. That's what I practice. I don't pick and choose. I'm committed. It is my life. It is my destiny. It is my purpose. It's why I'm on this planet. And to share with you, through my, you know, I tell my son, I said, you know, you don't have to learn your lessons the hard way. I've been through almost everything. Well, not everything, but I've been through a lot of crap. I've been through a lot. So ask me. I'll share with you what's happened and how I, at this new, at when I say new, being a happiness specialist, my perspective on it. Now, before we go on, I just want to share with my new audience and anyone else that's listening, you know, I am available for retreats, for speaking engagements, weekends, days. So you contact me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. And we usually do a segment at the beginning of the class called In the News. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I was surrounded by a lot of people this week. Actually, yesterday, probably 30 people, maybe, well, 30 people at one time and maybe 30 people at another time. So it's two separate times. And it's interesting because coming back from Oregon, there was a few people that wanted to share news with me. Apparently, there are fires in Oregon, and there were probably four people that asked me about the fires. Now, I'm in California, but they asked me about the fires. Did I hear about the fires? Am I worried about the fires? Are you close to the fires? I have a question. So this is the In the News segment. It's a little different than the usual weeks. I have a question for you. Why do you share bad news? What is the purpose of sharing bad news? I don't get it. What is the agenda? What is the intention? I'm just going to throw that out. There's no answer. You have to answer it for yourself. But the question comes from I really want to know. What is the intention and what is the reason? What is the agenda? And what I find is that it becomes a habit. Bad news, share bad news, talk about bad news. And that alone subtracts from happiness. That alone subtracts from peace. That behavior subtracts. So I'm here to share with you what subtracts from happiness and what adds. And I, for the life of me, I mean, I used to do it too. Hold on a second. Let me raise my hand. I used to do the same thing too. But I want to challenge you to be more mindful, but to be mindful and conscious of why do you share bad news? That's a question for my audience. Now, who wants to hear about my vacation from hell? It started on the first day. It started on the first day. When I say it started, I don't mean that the hell started, but the challenges started. Because I say the vacation from hell tongue in cheek, because there's really no such thing in my world. Maybe other people's, but in my world, no. So listen to this. 3 months ago, you know, it's summer, I booked a Airbnb home. And I wanted to book the home in the city of Duarte because Duarte is close to Arcadia. I'm Arcadia homegrown. Well, not homegrown, but for the last 30 years I've been in Arcadia. And so I wanted to be in the Arcadia area. All my people are in Arcadia. All the restaurants are in Arcadia. I love Arcadia. So I wanted to be in there weren't any rooms in Arcadia. So I booked this Airbnb in Duarte. Now, I get in late Monday night. It's 10:30, and I text the host, and I say, well, you know, is there parking? Parking, he told me where to park. I'm driving. I know Duarte. I've been born and raised in California since birth, and I've been in this area for a long time. I know Duarte, and I'm driving, and I'm looking, this isn't Duarte. It was so far away. And when I texted the host again, I said, you're in Duarte? With a question mark, because that is what the advertisement says in the Airbnb, on the Airbnb page for this particular host. And he said, he texts back and he said, borderline Irwindale and Duarte. Now, I know Duarte, and listen, so when I got there, borderline, is there such thing as a borderline? You're either in one city or you're in another city. So I get there, I'm parking in an alley. It's 10:30 at night. There's a huge party. I mean, the music is blasting. Listen, no hating on parties. I like loud music. Loud music blasting. And there's fireworks going on. I thought the 4th of July was over. I hope that was fireworks, either fireworks or gunshots. But there was a lot of commotion. I get there now. I've got four bags. Oh, why do I overpack all the time? Oh, it's such a, one of these days, I'm going to learn how not to overpack. I got a suitcase. I have three bags, like those grocery bags, those big grocery bags with the handles, dragging everything in. And I'm thinking, this isn't DeWardy. This is too far. I get in. And now I see the street sign. You know what the street sign says? Irwindale. So now I've got to voice that. Hey, this is not DeWardy. This is Irwindale. I text the host. And he goes back and forth with me with, no, it's a border. Bottom line is I'm in the room, which was a very nice room, but I go into the bathroom and it's infested with ants. And if you know me, I'm not a friend to any insects. Actually, I was thinking about being a bee farmer, but that's another story. But I'm not, bees are insects. I'm not a friend to insects. And so I text the host again. Now this is the second text. And I say, there's ants. And I said, you know, I'm not really feeling comfortable. I really don't want to stay here. It's too far for, you know, going back and forth to Arcadia every day. It's going to be too far of a drive. Now, the host is not really pleased, but I've got to do what I've got to do. I make a few calls to Airbnb, and they're going to give me a full refund check. Now, in the meantime, I still need a place to stay. Looking on Airbnb, I find another spot open, which is a miracle, in Arcadia. Beautiful, beautiful photos. Nice bed with a little fur on it. I mean, it was really beautiful. Clean, it looked clean. Get to Arcadia, get to the address, and I'm looking around and, okay, back house. Here I go. Ring the doorbell. Well, the host isn't there, but the family helps. I mean, helps me with the key, gives me the key, and it's a back house. Got my suitcase, my heavy bags, overpacked, drag everything into the back house, and there is no air conditioning. I mean, there is an air conditioning on the wall, but there is no air conditioning. It's actually a little with a living room, a kitchen area, another room, and the bedroom. Thank you for listening to this story, because I haven't even told anybody. Anyway, so the air conditioning is in one room, and it has to be at least 150 degrees into that little place. I'm looking around, and it's, okay, I'm going to use the word filthy. There's dirt under the bed, and then I touch the bed, and I might as well sleep outside on the sidewalk. I sit there and say, oh, gosh, universe, come on, come on. Now it's what, 11 o'clock at night? I have to contact Airbnb again. Let me just take a break. I have to contact Airbnb again. Now I've got to contact the host. The whole thing all over again. Meanwhile, Airbnb says, listen, we're sorry for the inconvenience, because the hosts have been, in my opinion, have been misrepresenting where their homes are and just the way they look. So they said, you know what? We have a service that we will comp you a hotel, you know, in the area. Well, for not some reason, on purpose, the universe has a convention during this week, the same time, my dear audience, as my visit. The same time. There are no hotels all on Huntington. There must be at least five or six. Everything is booked. I called every one of them. Now it's close to midnight, and I felt like Mary and Joseph without a, there was no room in the inn. I didn't, there was no place to stay. And for some reason, I'm not one to call people and say, oh, you know, I need a place. It's 12 o'clock at night. I'm driving down Colorado. Now I'm driving into Pasadena. And there's a motel on the right. And there's a motel on the left. I decide for the motel on the left. Let me just shorten this story. I haven't been in a motel in a long time. And this motel looked like somebody had either been murdered inside or murdered outside. It was, I slept for 2 hours with one eye open. There were no towels. There was no toilet paper. I mean, trust me. But you know what? The universe always gives me a sign. And that sign is when I find pennies or when I find coins or I find money on the floor. The universe always gives me a sign that, Rebecca, chill. We got you. And that morning, after I slept for 2 hours with one eye open, right by my car, there was a penny. Now, mind you, with all of that going on, there was not one time that I felt, oh, God, what's happening? Why? I actually chuckled. You know what? You know when I really started laughing is when I turned on the water in the motel and it dripped out. The water pressure was so thin. I mean, I had to cup my hands and hold it there for five minutes just to get a handful of water. No way I was going to take a shower. It looked like there was a toothpick in the shower. Listen. Now, the next day, I had three doctor's appointments. Dentist, dermatologist, and what was the other one? Dentist or dermatologist? Oh, gynecologist. So I go to the dentist, and I've had this chipped tooth. And the dentist told me, you might need a root canal. You know, you really need to pay attention. I actually chipped it about three months ago. And, you know, I kept all my doctors here in California. You might need a root canal. Oh, that's great news. Mind you, the dermatologist, I burned my wrist over a week ago. And let me tell you something. If you ever burn yourself and you have that blister, you can pop the blister, but never take off the skin. I took off the skin about a week ago, and now my whole wrist and the area is infected and inflamed. I'm laughing because it's the truth. So and it's only been 2 days. Well, I already knew that I had an infection with the wrist because I could, you know, you could see it. You know, I don't even want to keep going on and on. Oh, let me just tell you this one. So I was borrowing a car from one of my girlfriends. And she let me use her husband's car. Well, when I was at the last appointment for the day, which is on Tuesday, I'm putting the key in the ignition, and that little black plastic thing pops off of the key. You know, pops off of the metal the metal part is stuck in the ignition, and the black plastic, you know, where you push the button in and you can open it and or lock the car. Came right off. It's an older car. Came right off. I asked people. I asked guys to help me. It was a whole scene, man. And I couldn't get the car to start because the key was stuck in one direction. So now I've got to call, get my girlfriend's husband to come, and get the car. It's smoldering hot, and I'm in the lobby of my gynecologist. I'm waiting in the lobby of my gynecologist's office, which is a huge office building in Pasadena. And now it's after 5 o'clock. Oh, it's almost after 5 o'clock. And I told the receptionist, I said, can I stay in here and wait? can I wait inside, please? She says, you know, yeah, you can wait. I said, how long can I wait in here? She said, you can wait as long as you want. She says, you just can't leave past a certain time because you will not be able to get in. You can stay in the building, but once you leave, you can't go back in because it's a doctor's office. So doctors have, you know, maybe emergency. So doctors have to be able to get in the building all hours of the day, of the night. People, I didn't have a place to stay. I made a decision that I was going to sleep in that lobby all night. And it was, you know what? I actually got a little excited about it. I said, wow, I've never been homeless before. I've never had to sleep out in a lobby. I've never had to sleep outside. I mean, outside of a home or a hotel. This is going to be an adventure. I even made a video about it. I sent it to my son. I even made a video about how excited I was to be able to sleep. I had all my stuff. I had all my stuff in the car. Oh, wait. I had half of my stuff because the trunk, I had the suitcase in the trunk. And, of course, I can't get in the trunk because there's no key. And there, the button to open the trunk, to pop the trunk open, wasn't working. I digress. Let's fast forward. So that's one car that stopped working on me. Let's fast forward. I finally got another car that I could use for one day, use the car, and then I had to return it. Meanwhile, one of my things is really not asking people for help. I've got a lot of people I could ask. And I finally got out of my comfort zone, stepped out of my comfort zone and asked one of my good friends that I've known for 30 years. I said, you know, because we were going to In-N-Out that night. I said, you know, yeah, I'll treat you to In-N-Out if you give me some place to stay. So I'm staying at my girlfriend's house and I was able to use her daughter's car. Now, yesterday I had a huge day. I had to teach an aqua class. I had a luncheon. In the morning, right before I got ready to go to the class, the daughter's car didn't start. Two cars just died. Two cars didn't start on this vacation. But I'm here to tell you, it's never, ever, ever about what's happening. And I have to say, I'm going to give myself a standing ovation for just being able to flow and get through and not resist anything that happens. Now, let me be honest and tell you there are things that push my buttons. And one of the things is people asking me questions. I say, ooh, I don't even want to say the word. I don't want to say it. Oh, I don't want to say it. Okay, I'll say it. People asking me stupid questions. I don't know why that bothers me, but it does. So now I'm surrounded by lots of people, and the questions start coming constantly. There was even a question yesterday. Listen to this. I live in a house in Oregon. I don't live in a cave. I live in a house. And one person asked me, does your house get cold? Does the inside of your house, because it's, you know, 35, 55 degrees in Oregon, 35 low, 55 high during the winter, around there, sometimes lower. Does your house get cold when it gets cold? That was a question that I got yesterday. Audience, if you're still listening, if you're still with me, that'll take me over the edge. What I just described about the situation with the cars and not having a place to stay, that was a piece of cake for me. But a stupid question will take me over the edge. Now, a stupid question won't take me over the edge all the time. But when I'm saying all the stimulation over the week, over a week of every day, there was something that I was challenged with. It's just like a car. When you run out of gas, this life, this happiness is not about being happy with everything, because the world is going to throw you curveballs. It's really about three stages, and this is from David Hawkins, which is actually right now is my favorite author. And he talks about the three stages of life. And the first stage is what you do. And the second stage is what you have. And the third stage is what you become. What do you become? And that third stage for me, is very evident in what I've committed myself to practice. It's just like riding a bike. No, you know, it's just like learning how to drive a stick shift car. It's the same thing. When you learn how to drive a stick shift, you don't have to relearn it. It comes natural. It's automatic. You don't even have to think about it. And so when you make a commitment to practice, and I'm going to share with you the foundation of happiness, the foundation of peace, the foundation of contentment. When you make a commitment to practice, trusting, number one, trusting that whatever is happening to you is happening for a really good reason, even if you can't understand it, even if it doesn't feel good in the moment, even if your eyes tell you that it's something wrong, it needs to be different. The trust is huge. I always ask people, do you worry? And you know, most of 99% of the people raise their hand, do you worry? Well, the only reason why people worry is because they don't. Only reason. I have no worries, zero worries. I have mastered worrying. And coming from my family, trust me, that's a big deal. Mastered worrying. So trust is the foundation, and that's a practice. Practice trusting. Practice. The other thing that is a foundation, when I say foundation to this happiness, is knowing that everything is in order. It's the same as trust, but it's just things evolve in order. You know, you pick an avocado off a tree, it's not ripe right away. So the order of it, you pick the avocado, it's hard, and then it ripens. You know what? I don't really know if that's true. Do they all ripen off the tree? Do avocados ripen on the tree? I don't know, but you know what I'm talking about. So there is an order to things. There is an order to roses blooming. You plant the seed, and then the flowers bloom. There is an order to everything, and there is an order to life. And let me tell you, you cannot speed up the order, and you cannot slow down the order. Another part of the foundation for happiness and peace and contentment and balance is, why did I lose my train of thought? I was on such a roll. Trust, order. Oh, surrender. Surrender to every moment without resisting it. I would have looked at that. You know, if I shared that story with anyone, well, actually, I shared it with a couple people, and of course, I already knew the reaction was, oh, gosh, what? Like, oh, how horrible. Well, life is not, that wasn't horrible what happened to me. It was a lot, but it wasn't horrible. Life is an experience without judgments. So surrendering to all of it, and I'm telling you, it was a lot of surrendering to all of it in all moments is another part of your foundation. And when I say foundation, is what I'm talking about, just being able, automatic, surrender, trust, order. And one another big one is acceptance. Acceptance of all and of everyone. It's really interesting to me how, and I'm only using myself as an example, how I would look at other people and I would know exactly what was wrong with them. And I would know exactly what they needed to do, how their lives needed to unfold, what they needed to pray. I knew so much about other people. I knew about myself too, but I sure didn't know about someone else. And I'm here to tell you, stay out of the work, stay out of the work of the universe, stay out of the universe's job. The universe doesn't need your help. It doesn't need your help. The suggestions to people, what they should do, what they can do, the suggestions to other people. I'm raising my hand because I had a suggestion for everybody. I could tell everybody, I could give everybody advice. Unless somebody is asking me a question, and I'm telling you, I perk up with questions. Ooh, ask me a question. I perk up. But unless somebody is asking me a question, I do not give advice at all. It is very freeing. It is actually a heavy load that I don't have to lift. Oh, I'm helping. No, you're not helping. You can't help yourself. How do you think you can help somebody else? Did I say that out loud? My dear audience, I really appreciate if you've listened to this whole thing. It's one of those shows where I'm not going to take any calls. Well, let's see if there's anybody that wants to talk to me. I really don't have time to take too many calls today because I'm out on the road. But I want to say thank you so much for being part of the audience and thank you for listening. And a shout out to any Arcadia or any of my students listening this morning. Shout out to my California people. The bottom line is this. The commitment is not easy. It's not easy to look in the mirror and say, oh, it's me. Oh, I have myself to blame. I can't blame someone else for how I'm feeling. I can't blame a situation for my frustration. I can't even blame stupid questions. Honestly, it's not the stupid question that bothers me. It's not a stupid question that pushes my button. Whatever's going on inside is just churning and churning and churning. So I use stupid question as an excuse. I use the stupid question as an excuse or a reason to get irritated or frustrated or impatient with a person. They're all excuses. The truth is how you're feeling internally, you wear it out on your sleeve, you wear it out on your shoulders. How you feel inside is what you are going to show to the world. It's not the world that's bothering you. It's the inside job. And see, that's why there are not a lot of people that take this journey, because it's very difficult to look in the mirror. Trust me, I didn't want to look in the mirror for years. It had to be everybody else, right? Woo-wee. Let me just check. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Reality Spirituality is on Facebook. You can go to Reality Spirituality on Facebook and like the page if you feel inspired. on Instagram, Reality Spirituality, and my first book can be found on Amazon and or Lulu, that's LULU.com, which is called Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. My second book, which I am writing when I'm inspired, is called Program for Unhappiness, because people, my dear audience, it is a program. It is a program, and it is a man-made program. And once you recognize that it's not these things, it's a program that is really there, that is rooted, that is giving you or is causing all of the unrest, all of the anger, all of the sadness, all of the thing that's opposite of happiness, opposite of balance. That is the cause, nothing else. My favorite quote, until next week, I want to remind you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. You're always expanding. Love is patient and love is kind. Be kind and be patient to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you. I'm back home tomorrow. Oregon, here I come.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real good.
Now,
let's go.